Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. July 5th, 2020. Realize yourself wherever you are. Question: I study the wisdom of Kabbalah. I have a group with which I can share our common goal, but I feel that no one understands me in the group and that they are not strong enough for me. What should I do? Answer: still, it is worthwhile being in a group. It is better to be in a weak group than to work alone. Question: but can freedom help me choose a different environment? Does it all depend on me? Answer: no, an individual cannot do anything. He has to choose an environment in any case. If you think that the environment is too weak for you, move to another environment, but I don't think this is the right choice. Fulfill yourself in the environment you are in, and you will see that what was given to you is the right thing. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, November 17, 2019. Medium published my new article, Capitalism is Over, What's Next? It has been dying for a long time, but we didn't know it. We thought we were practicing it. We thought it was the most advanced economic system humankind has ever conceived, while in fact, it has long been kaput, or as Webster's dictionary defines it, utterly finished, defeated, destroyed, unable to function. Indeed, capitalism has been destroyed by the very force on which it intended to capitalize, the human ego. We must develop a more inclusive thinking where we calculate our actions according to the benefit of our communities, cities, countries, and eventually the world, instead of only our own. When it first dawned on humanity, capitalism was the right thing at the right time. It facilitated progress, healthy competition, and in many cases, a chance to build a good life based on one's willingness to work hard. But for the past several decades, the link between labor and income has been shattered and crushed, replaced by financial wizardry and exploitation of financial power for political gain, and vice versa. And just to demonstrate the disconnect, ask yourself this: if every industry and every service in the country is breaking record lows right now, how come Wall Street is breaking record highs? This is what a shattered link between labor and income looks like. Very few gain from it. Now, thanks to the coronavirus, it is becoming evident that capitalism has run its course. I believe that the tide in stocks we have seen after the initial drop when COVID-19 first struck is the swan song of capitalism. Like the sudden apparent recovery of a dying man before the final collapse, Wall Street is currently celebrating. But it will be short-lived. Very soon, it will begin its final decline. It may be a longer process or a shorter one, but either way, capitalism has run its course. To me, the more troubling question is what's next? Because if we are not careful, the signs are pointing to a new dark era. Radical forces are becoming increasingly brazen and seek to overthrow democracy and capitalism, and install totalitarianism. It may take the form of communism, fascism, or Nazism, but whichever it is, it will not benefit the regular folk. Yet, this will happen only if we stay idle. It is evident to everyone that the world today is an integral system whose parts are all interconnected. Everything that each of us does affects all of humanity. In such a system, caring only for ourselves is a prerogative we cannot afford. We must develop a more inclusive thinking where we calculate our actions according to the benefit of our communities, cities, countries, and eventually the world, instead of only our own. If we are aware of this, then we have no excuse to sit by and let events develop on their own. We need to spread the word that we are all responsible for one another. The violent struggles we are seeing now are counterproductive to the cause of mutual responsibility, since they only increase hatred and separation. Being interconnected and interdependent means we care for one another. And just as I wouldn't act violently toward a member of my family with whom I disagree, so I must avoid violence toward others, on whom I rely, even if I do not like them for whatever reason. I am not endorsing socialism, and certainly not communism of any sort. Nor do I have a particular political affiliation. My interest is the well-being of humanity. Accordingly, I am endorsing caring, mutual consideration, and mutual responsibility. The resulting economic system after the demise of capitalism will be something we have never tried before, since we have never cared for one another unless they were family, and even then, not always. There is no clear outline to this new economy, since we have yet to begin to care for one another, but as soon as we start caring, we will know what we should do. It is a bit like a first-time mother. Until she has her first child, she has no idea how to be a mother. But as soon as the child is born, she suddenly knows. She feels what she should do because her love guides her motherhood. The same is true for a society that is based on caring. Until we begin to build it, we will not know what it should be like. But once we take our first step, the knowledge will come through our care for one another. It is possible, and it is urgent. If we wait, the radical, totalitarian forces will gain too much traction and set society off on the complete opposite track. The 10, a device for revealing the Creator. The Creator can be revealed only by dissolving in the Friends and rising to the level of the Bina. It is similar to a device that is needed to detect an invisible magnetic field. This device will show that there is a certain force acting on it and deflecting its dial. That is, it shows us not the force itself, but its reaction to this force. We make ourselves a device for revealing the Creator, which works on the same principle as all measuring instruments of our world. We only have to organize everything correctly within us, and we will be able to discover the Creator. The device must perceive the phenomenon and react to it, and then its reaction can be measured and the device can be used to estimate the force that caused it. We do not know what electromagnetic forces are, but we know how they act. They cause current to flow in a wire or the movement of a compass needle. We always see the reaction of the device, not the force itself, and we draw conclusions, naming it by the phenomenon itself. In order to reveal the Creator, we need to build such a compass from ourselves, an induction circuit, a device that will reveal the upper force. The Creator is twirling everything inside us now as well, but we are not paying attention to Him. What change must one make inside oneself in order to discern Him? All our work consists in this calibration, in tuning to the Creator. The problem is that I feel my own reaction to the influence of the upper force, and I need to decrypt it in such a way as to find the Creator in it. I respond to His influence within my desire, my body. Therefore, I need to calibrate myself so that my desire allows me to correctly understand the actions of the Creator. And for this I need to annul myself to zero, so as not to demand anything for my egoism. Every device is first calibrated in such a way, set to zero, and then it can be used for measuring. Our initial calibration is to want nothing for ourselves, so as not to be bribed and not to judge with bias. We carry out such calibration in the 10. If I try to join the center of the 10 and want to connect with all my friends, I reset my device. Now, from this zero, I can begin to respond correctly to the Creator, to His impact on me. Zeroing is already a starting point, allowing one to get nothing for oneself, but only for the 10. I have no indicator other than my 10 to verify that I receive nothing for my egoism. If there are friends in front of me who I think of, then I annul myself in front of them. It turns out that I personally become neutral, that is, zero. In this way we build the correct device for the perception of the Creator. Under the influence of the upper force we begin to awaken to mutual bestowal in the 10. The Creator gives us the power of bestowal by which we reveal that He is between us. After all, we began to relate to each other in this way in the 10 and we received the property of Bina, bestowal, the strength of faith above our resistance, our knowledge. Resistance also begins to be felt more because a force comes to us that flows inside the ties connecting us, as if in an electronic device, and we feel resistance within ourselves. In this way we measure the difference of potentials, between bestowal, above, and reception, below, which are called faith and knowledge. And these steps of faith and knowledge begin to rise, the strength of our egoism grows, and the strength of bestowal grows, and in this way we rise. The difference of potentials between Malkut and Bina, as it were, remains the same, the seven sephirot of Zir and Pin. At first it was just zero. But then it gradually grew to seven sephirot. Zir and Pin is the part Tzuf of my soul that has just been born. The soul grows in Bina's abdomen due to its connection with Malkut, which annuls itself in relation to Bina. Seven sephirot of Zar, this is the place where I reveal all of reality. In this gap between knowledge and above knowledge are all the worlds, the whole universe. There is nothing else. Above Bina are already the properties of the Creator, Keter, Hochma, Bina. Below Bina are the properties of Zar, which has just been born. And Malkut is the desire to enjoy created by the Creator. Therefore, besides these properties that I develop between Malkut and Bina, there is nothing else, this is all my reality. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, June 25, 2020, Writings of Balhar Sulam, Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sephirot, Item 15. Find your place in the system of nature. Balhar Sulam, the peace, thus, I have evidently proven from the perspective of empirical reason, out of the practical history unfolding before our very eyes, that there is no other cure for humanity but the acceptance of the commandment of providence, bestowal upon others in order to bring contentment to the Creator in the measure of the two verses. The first is love thy friend as thyself, which is the attribute of the work itself. This means that the measure of work to bestow upon others for the happiness of society should be no less than the measure imprinted in man to care for his own needs. Moreover, he should put his fellow person's needs before his own, as it is written in the article, Matan Torah, Item 4. Question: how can we move from some pragmatic calculations that now in the time of crisis no one can put together, to understanding the connection and higher level we must take upon ourselves, which involves complying with the laws of the upper governance, becoming included in them, and helping everyone feel some kind of support? Answer: rising to the next level of perception of reality comes down to the fact that we enter the sensation of eternity, perfection, infinity, and most importantly, into a single, common, perfect, integrated reality. If we begin to feel nature as an absolutely integral system, we will also know our place in it, where my cell is located in it. In this way, I will understand the meaning of my existence in relation to the great union of individuals, and everything will become clear to me. The main thing is to separate yourself from your individualism, your egoism, and look at nature from an integral aspect so that you see the whole picture as one unified whole. This is a completely different perception of reality where I do not feel separate objects and phenomena but see the entire picture. Then I can understand myself in a completely different way. Where am I in this picture? And I am not in it. I feel separated from everything. So, I am experiencing it incorrectly. It means that I am in a kind of unconscious state, detached from true life, from the whole vast picture of nature. How can I perceive it correctly? This is what I want. And if I begin to perceive it correctly, I will see my place in it and discover what I lack to become integrally connected with everyone. It will become clear to me what my job is, what my duty is, what my connection is with the others, and how others are connected to me. I will come to the level of this eternal, perfect, integral, unified nature and understand the meaning of it and my existence. And right now, I absolutely do not understand what all this is for. I look at everything, it exists, it turns, and I am with them. But why, I don't know. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 17, 2020. coronavirus, time for change. As expected, the coronavirus will stay with us for a long time. Many countries, seeing a decline in the number of cases, began to relax restrictions and remove quarantines. But as soon as this happened, a new wave of illnesses immediately arose. There are many examples of this: the United States, Russia, France, Israel, Argentina, Brazil, Italy, Germany, South Korea, and many others. Wherever the economy opens, the virus returns. We need to prepare for the fact that we will have to live with the coronavirus for years, and therefore, we need to rebuild the economy accordingly. First of all, we need to find out which industries are absolutely necessary for life, since we must provide food for all. But 20% of the working population is enough for this, and the rest do not need to work. There is no need for designer clothes, expensive cars, or travel. The world should return to a normal, modest life as it was before the 20th century, before the explosion of consumption and the development of many industries that are not necessary. If we don't do it, then nature, the virus, will do it for us, and we will pay a much higher price for it, both in terms of money and in human lives. 80% of jobs will be ended one way or another. The only difference is whether it will be a spontaneous process, accompanied by huge losses, or we decide in advance that we are starting to reduce unnecessary production. We see that people have stopped using and buying luxury or fashionable things that used to cost a lot of money, but were not necessities. It's okay if these businesses remain closed for a few months, still no one is buying anything. So why try to resuscitate them artificially? I'm sure people won't rush into jewelry stores right now, even if they open them. The state is trying to compensate everyone for their losses, but in a few months the money will run out, and then what will we do? Therefore, it is better to do the research now and understand that this is not a temporary problem, but a new form of life for a new society, a new family, a new state. It should not be like now, when all sorts of interested circles put pressure on the state, and it opens the treasury to them and hands out money. If we pay for the jewelry store's losses today, tomorrow there will be no money left to feed the hungry, which will be 50, 60, or 70% of the entire population. Now the main thing is to mobilize all forces and funds to provide everyone with the necessary food. Water, electricity, gas, and food must all be completely accessible. Then you can think about clothing for those who need it. Open free public kindergartens and schools instead of paying for the jewelry stores that lost customers. Otherwise, we will empty the treasury in a few months, and that would be the end. We also need a program that helps young families buy housing at an affordable price. It is necessary to build housing for ordinary citizens, and not speculate in apartments and land. This must be a real revolution, and it will happen anyway. The only difference is whether it will happen gradually, according to a well-thought-out scientific plan, or under the onslaught of an angry crowd that went out into the street to destroy everything around and establish a new order. There have been no planned revolutions in history that were carried out on the recommendation of scientific experts. But now we see that there is no way out, and we need to do something, because it is obvious that if not 80%, then 40% will probably be out of work. Those who will remain working must be provided with safe conditions so that they do not infect each other with the virus. After all, they are our breadwinners. The rest of us will stay at home and learn how to live in the new society. This new life is now years ahead, and we need to get used to the fact that we are not working, but learning. Study will be work. This is an inevitability that we will have to accept, whether we like it or not. The coronavirus will bind us to it. We need to explain to people where this is coming from and why human society must undergo such changes, metamorphoses. Humanity is changing and growing. We have already gone through a lot of changes and social formations in our history, and now it is time for such a change, which has not yet happened. And we must actively participate in it ourselves. Before, formations were replaced spontaneously, because the time had come, from slavery to feudalism, then to capitalism. And now we are moving to the next stage, ceasing to live for the sake of earning, and starting to live for the sake of building a new person. This is a big revolution, because we are egoists and used to living by earning from each other. Now we will have to live to help each other, and this is a radical change. From CAB TV's Global Perspectives, May 14, 2020. Why did nature plan a pandemic? Question: did nature plan a pandemic to restore order in the world? Answer: the fact that the coronavirus comes from within nature itself, like all other viruses, is clear to us. But the fact that we allow it to manifest itself is already our problem. After all, by our bad relationships, we ourselves cause all the imbalances in nature, and then viruses appear. It does not matter how it started. Why do we need to know? If we are in more corrected states with each other, no negative qualities of nature will have control over us. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 3, 2020. The coronavirus and the family. Question: the uncertainty associated with the epidemic and about how long it will last is reflected in the psyche of children and parents. At first everyone was euphoric: we are staying at home, we are uniting, we have a family, everything is wonderful. It took a week, 2 or 3 weeks, to a month to become clear that serious quarrels are taking place at home. How to hold out? You say, the virus helps us understand the meaning of life. But people are annoyed, they do not know what to do, they cannot control themselves. Answer: we are going through a reprogramming of our attitude toward ourselves and the world. The person in us is changing. There was a person like that in me, and now he is slowly being replaced by a different one in the way I will perceive the world, the way I will think, conceive, what I will remember, and what I will subdue in myself, and so on. That is, everything is changing. This is what is happening to all of us, we all are participating in it. We need to explain all of this. Question: do you think people will listen when they are in such a state? Answer: they will hear precisely because they are in such a state. Because it is all very important to them. Of course, they will hear. Question: we have to say, look, the epidemic will not end tomorrow. But you have to make peace in this world of yours. How do you do it? How can they make at least relative peace at home between parents and 2 or 3 children? Answer: we need to constantly play among ourselves in the future world. You will not see what is simply happening to us, but what opportunities it is giving us. It turns out that it needs our cooperation, our partnership. This is where we should be. I would even say, we should be in clear our reciprocity, which is more internal, sincere, spiritual, desirable, in feelings, in thoughts, in everything, in reciprocity between us and the program that is currently working on us, so that even before it starts to twist and change us, we ourselves would like to feel it and change with it. Question: as a parent that feels we are being pushed together, how should I deploy this program? What should I understand? Answer: you should be kind to each other and try to reveal this program between us. It will be gradually revealed between us, and we will treat it more and more kindly, openly, affably. We will wish that it will enter us. And it will lead us to the correct interaction between us. We will become friendly until we love each other. Question: if I start talking with this program, then I don't resist? Answer: yes, of course. You will reveal the Creator in it. Comment: but people do not understand this. My response: and I will explain it to them. What kind of force is changing us today and turning all of humanity upside down? What is this little program? The internal force in this program is the upper force of nature, because it is manifested specifically in man, and man is still the highest stage of the development of nature. It changes him and is directed precisely at him. Question: how can we change this relationship? Give us some advice. Answer: the sooner we get to the integral interaction of all parts of nature, the inanimate, vegetative, animate, and most importantly, human, the sooner we come to the conclusion that this is an integral system of interaction, mutual support, etc., the faster we will get to the state of happiness, fulfillment, eternity. Not mortification, as it is today, but eternity and perfection. All this will be awakening between us. We will see it in front of us. The virus is bringing us liberation from our egoism. If we wish it, of course. Question: what is a good attitude? Answer: to be in absolute interaction. Parents, children, grandparents, and so on. We all are the same elements of the single system. This is the first thing. The second one is, pets are a must. You treat them in such a way that they feel your attitude to them and feel their attitude to you, what you demand from them, so that this is all built on interaction. Do not treat them as animals, and do not treat them as equal to you. You must treat them as elements of the creation, from which you demand a correct, reasonable response. Question: how should I treat children? Answer: the same is true about children. Children are actually adults who simply have a much more limited understanding of the world around them. But to the extent that they understand it, they are obliged to reasonably participate in it. And you have to explain it to them, to treat them like that, and they will understand it. You correct yourself and your soul by the way you treat children and household members. Question: how should one treat one's wife or one's husband? Answer: in exactly the same way as oneself. That is, the most important thing is that you support each other in your mutual actions, in understanding what is happening to you. Question: what are my concessions regarding the other, so as not to suppress him, but to comply with him? Answer: I annul myself in order to be the correct element in the system of the universe. I have a reasonable attitude to everything. Question: because we are inside the system and must correspond to it? Answer: yes. The integral system of nature should reveal before us, inside us, around us, more and more in our sensations, and in it we will see this huge program called the Creator. We are in one system, in one world, in one globe, in one sphere. Inside this sphere everyone is equal, everyone is interconnected, everyone is friendly, everyone is connected by the feelings of mutual love, concessions, and mutual assistance. Nobody thinks about himself, but thinks only about others. This is the law of the interconnected integral system of the world. We will necessarily get to it. But the sooner we get to it, the sooner we will understand what nature, the Creator, demands from us, and we will really discover a wonderful future. Question: is this what the virus wants from us? Is it launched into the world by this system? Answer: yes, of course. Where else does it come from? It has existed in it, we just have not been able to discern it. By our creepy behavior, we eventually squeezed it out of there. And now it appears from the opposite side. Question: it is saying, come back home. Stop wandering around. Answer: of course. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, April 6, 2020. Thrive Global published my new article, Corona, the Virus That's Reprogramming Us. By forcing us to rely on one another for our health, the virus is teaching us that we can trust one another, that we can build supportive communities, and that we can find pleasure in people more than in stuff. We may not notice it because it's who we are, but the way we think about life, the things we want, value, prefer, our aspirations, manners, fears, reactions, all those are programmed into our psyche through the social environment we live in. When COVID-19 forced itself into our lives and locked them down, it affected all of us. To some, its impact was physical, but to everyone, It is emotional. The social and behavioral implications that the coronavirus has wrought are just beginning, but they will be far-reaching and enduring. We have entered a new era. The sooner we adapt, the better for all of us. The coronavirus will not let us return to unbridled consumerism, to unchecked exploitation of the planet and each other. Even if we want to return to our previous way of life, the presence of the virus will make it very difficult. Wherever we go, there is a chance we might catch the virus or transmit it to another person, even if we wear a mask and keep our distance. Gradually, the virus is forcing us to reconsider things we used to take for granted, such as going out to bars and restaurants, hopping a plane to go on vacation, buying new gadgets just because they're new or because our friends have them, etc. By forcing us to behave differently, the virus is actually reprogramming us. Who would have thought just a few months ago that we could envision a life that's not an endless pursuit of immediate, yet dissatisfying, pleasures? But now, if we only had our basic sustenance guaranteed, many would gladly opt out of the bandwagon and say, "Stop the world, I want get off," to paraphrase on Leslie Bricusse's musical. The coronavirus isn't yet another epidemic. Just like a computer virus, it is reprogramming our operating system and changes our very essence. But not in a bad way, on the contrary, it is slowing down our lives so we may discover hidden pleasures that we'd missed before. By forcing us to rely on one another for our health, the virus is teaching us that we can trust one another, that we can build supportive communities, and that we can find pleasure in people more than in stuff. The coronavirus will not let us return to unbridled consumerism, to unchecked exploitation of the planet and each other. It will teach us how to build a good, sustainable life for ourselves and for our children. If we follow its directives willingly, we will complete the transition quickly and easily. If we remain obstinate, we will complete it painfully and slowly. Either way, COVID-19 will win. It will force us to lock up what's not essential for life, and open up what's essential for happiness. Published on July 3, 2020. My new article on BizCatalyst: Time to Overhaul How We Rank People. One of the first questions in every first meeting with a person is, "What do you do?" Meaning, what do you do for a living? There are two things we usually want to know when we ask that question. 1, how much you make, and 2, what is your rank on the social stratum? In fact, if you said to your new acquaintance how much you make straight away, he or she wouldn't inquire about the type of work you do or your social stratum. Your earnings alone would enable that person to rank you. But what do you do when money is meaningless? We're heading toward a reality of widespread joblessness when many good people will be out of work permanently, not of their own volition, but because there will be no jobs to occupy. This is not a futuristic scenario. COVID-19 has instigated this reality. If initially, people were furloughed, now they are being fired as more and more companies are adjusting to a reality of permanent low demand. I already wrote countless times in essays and in books about the obligation of governments to provide jobless people with a basic income, and that this income must be contingent on participating in sessions that teach them about the reality that got them fired. While it is essential to know that the world that has become completely interdependent, and that in order to survive we must be responsible for one another, we must also tend to people's sense of self-esteem. To put it differently, there are 3 elements that people must maintain in order to be able to lead a satisfying life. 1, physical provisions, staples. 2, understanding the world they live in. And 3, a sense of dignity or self-esteem. Without any one of these 3, people will be driven to despair, and many will resort to violence, which will tear society apart. Because, at the end of the day, public figures cater to the desires of the public. The public must show that it respects people who give to society, and even more importantly, bring it together. There is no question that a cohesive society is a resilient society. Also, People are happier when they live in a supportive environment. We need to show that this is the society we want and that we pay people who help bring us together with respect, dignity, and accolades. If we do so with conviction, and resolutely show that we condemn people who exploit others, even the wealthiest, most powerful people will give up their power and fortune in return for appreciation. We mustn't forget that it doesn't matter how many billions I have if people don't know about it and respect me for it. Therefore, if social values change, so will people's desires, since nothing is more powerful than people's opinion of a person. If we show what values we want, what kind of individuals we respect, we will create a society made of such people. My teacher's father, the prolific thinker and Kabbalist, Balha Sulam, phrased the whole concept in one short paragraph. Indeed, any experienced person knows that the greatest of all the world's imaginable pleasures is to win people's favor. Obtaining this coveted thing is worth making every effort and worldly concession. This is the magnet to which the finest in every generation are drawn, and for which they trivialize the whole of the worldly life. When we respect people who contribute to our solidarity, that contribution will be the new currency. The more people contribute to it, the wealthier they will be in the eyes of society, and therefore in their own eyes, as respect becomes the new currency. If we employ this tactic, we will navigate our communities and countries to safety in the How to combine two realities. Question: how does a Kabbalist at the next level of perception of reality combine perfect reality with an uncorrected, non-integral, evil, earthly reality? Answer: the Kabbalist combines this in himself. We humans are special creatures that exist in both worlds, in a perfect higher world to the extent that we can enter into conjugation with an integral system and at the same time in our world to the extent that we still cannot get out of our egoistic world. Do not think about our world as evil and bad. It is a special system, which, in the language of truth, exists only in us. Only in us is it perceived. Therefore, we must correct only ourselves. Nothing that I perceive as our world, subjectively, exists. What seems real to us exists in us. You exist in me, I in you. This slightly complicates the perception of the overall picture, but, in general, this is so. From Kab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 17, 2020. New Life 1177. Digestive Problems.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Azoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about problems in the human digestive system. We'll try to look at the system as a whole and try and understand why are there more problems in the digestive system today than in the past. Be with us. It's going to be interesting. Nitzan, please. Yeah. The human body has different systems without which there can't be life, and one of these systems is the digestive system, which has a very basic role to absorb food, to allow the body to keep growing, developing, make energy, seemingly something pretty simple. And we see that in this very basic, relatively simple mechanism, there more and more problems, especially in the past decades, I'd say especially in the past 15 years, research shows. We see that it's in the Western population that's seemingly more developed, that is very aware of hygiene and the system supposed to work more properly. But we see that there is a serious increase indigestive problems, allergies to different kinds of foods, starting with little children and on. Meaning we see something that is going wrong in a very basic system in the human body, and this is what we'd like to talk about today. So of course there are many researchers about this, and some would say that it's maybe because of the industrialized world, and maybe because we're exposed to antibiotics at a very young age, the stress that we experience, many reasons, due to which something goes wrong in our digestive system. And today we'd like to try and scrutinize whether the system is affected, or is there some kind of a deeper reason to why things are going wrong in it. I don't think that it's time dependent, but it depends on the state of humanity. Humanity has reached such a state where, on the one hand, our technologies allow us to really live double the time we used to live, suppose, 100 years ago. People lived up to the age of 40, then up to the age of 60, today already 80 and 90 is not the limit. And on the one hand, it's really so. On the other hand, our systems, along with us being able to extend our life, but nonetheless our systems suffer as a result. Man, most of the day, sitting down. At work, he sits in front of a computer. Comes home, sits in front of the TV. That's life. On the way, he sits in his car. This on the one hand. On the other hand, what he eats, of course, it's processed food. It's very hard to say that he's getting any kind of basic food that has some kind of nutritious value. Yeah, it's not meat and it's not fish. It's all... And if he buys it in a shop where it's already processed into some kind of shape or form, there you can't really say if there's any meat in it, or if it's a sausage, then 10% is meat and the rest, who knows what, soya, this, that, different additives. And I'm not saying that they're bad, but our body, by nature, isn't ready to digest such large quantities of things that aren't basic food. It's not meat, and it's not fish, and it's not really crops. It's not milk, it's... We get all of this food after it's been processed, and we're sold something that's completely unnatural, and so the body suffers. It has to digest it, it has to somehow emit it, and also instead of that, it has to somehow compensate for it. So how? That's the problem. That's the main problem. And we also eat a lot. There's the consumption culture and advertisements on television and buy and buy and buy and buy. And all of this candy that naturally you don't have. In nature you have nuts, fruits. That's what you have. Up until 300 years ago, sweets were considered nuts, fruits, and today it's chocolates, and also it's not real chocolate. It's also all substitutes and whatnot. So, what do we see from all this? Some food. It isn't. We're poisoning ourselves. The problem is that we're also accustoming our bodies so much so to these poisons that if now we'll shift to real food, the poisoning that we'll have, so it's the other way around. Yeah, because we're used to this. Our bodies are already ready to receive, accept, digest things that if we give it to someone from Oceania or from the north someplace, for him it's poison. For us, to the contrary. So there's really a big confusion and a big corruption here. And therefore, problems in the digestive system, what can you do? The thing is that it's all in our hands. All in all, the planet can inhabit another 10 billion people without a problem. And to feed them in a good way. We don't want it. Because we put our health, our life, in the hands of crooks. Really. People that the only thing that they want is to profit. They don't care what they put into the sausages, into bread, into cookies, into whatever they inflate us with. And eventually, look, it's Coca-Cola and Pepsi and whatnot. Really, I have no words. When I'm in America, I like looking at old ladies, you know, 80 plus with these pretty rings, how they take in their hands this big kind of like sandwich, you know, sliced sandwich and plenty of things inside there, and the way they eat it, really, but that's how it is? What does that represent in your eyes? It's a pity what they're doing to themselves, these grandmas. It's not healthy. By this, they fill the pockets of whoever makes it. But and also, that person doesn't get anything out of it eventually. But you know, with all the money that goes around. But corruptions are corruptions. And then you have doctors and lawyers and everyone enjoys it. And everything turns that way. They're looking for a way to solve the problem. You can't. Because we see that it starts at a young age. It's not that. Everyone knows that this is how it has to work. If we stop something in the chain, everything collapses, and what's going to happen with the industry and banks and factories and the thousands of kilometers of agricultural land and cows and milk and everything. I want to ask, besides the things that we talked about, is there any other higher reason or deeper reason for which such a basic system in the human body is corrupted, distorted? Or it has to do with different environmental problems, bad food? Each and every day, we get a new portion of pollution into our body with the food, with what we drink, with the air. And that's how it is in everything. And even if we don't, we touch different substances, we use different cleaning products and whatnot. We're all the time putting into our body through the air, through what we drink, what we eat, through the skin, what are we sleeping on. we're absorbing all the time poisonous substances that don't exist in nature the way that they do when we get them. They're not natural. It's something that we have manufactured. Yeah? And so our body doesn't know how to deal with it. Right. So I understand that there's a certain level of poison that a person all the time receives from nature, poison, whether it's something that we've developed or whatever. And the question is there some kind of additional poison that we absorb from nature that somehow influences us that doesn't necessarily have to do with the poison that comes from spraying or genetically engineered food? Every person is also getting spiritual food. What we hear on the news, what we hear from other people, all this great big stress that we're experiencing. And besides, we also have negative spiritual food. What do you mean by negative spiritual food? That I hear cursing, and the way people go at each other, and shout, and are discontent, and are really criticizing. That's also food. It's not necessarily that I have to take it in through the mouth, or, you know, something that I have to chew with my teeth. And so it follows that we're all the time swallowing and swallowing these poisons into ourselves. You're talking about poison more on the social level. Social, human level, and up to higher levels, where a person already curses this life and this country and this entire world altogether. So this is exactly the poison that I want to ask about in order to understand it a bit better. Because all the different other kinds of poisons and genetically engineered food and, you know, this is something that anyone can say. There are disputes, but still. The added value that the wisdom of Kabbalah gives, that it gives a different kind of angle to looking at this food that's poisoning us, that has a different characteristic, that's more social, human. How does this food that you call spiritual food, how does it affect the person? In what way? In that a person starts hating everyone. He hates everyone. By this, he eats himself up and all of humanity and the entire world. He curses everyone. He lives out of bad, out of evil. And that's the biggest poison that he absorbs and emits. He sells to others and buys from them these toxics that come through what we say, what we think, what we do. And in this regard, we're really in go and live off each other. So we live off each other's poison, slander. That's the main flaw. And this is what really makes us ill. It's something that we can't measure. But physically, really, it influences us. As a part of the solution, many times people say, okay, we understand that this comes from stress. Let's go to the wild, be calm a bit. They're poisoned, so let's try and grow something more organic, eat more healthy. And an entire culture developed out of this that is really occupied with this. They understand that there's a problem, and they're looking for a solution. The solution is, let's move away from the stress, from the commotion, and let's eat healthy. The question is this the solution the way you see it? I see the solution in a completely different way. First of all, I'm living in a round world. And what happens in the world with all the thoughts and desires that roam the world, I absorb them. I'm in them. I can't run away from this planet, even if I'm living on the North or South Pole. And so, it won't help. I'm connected to the whole of reality. And it's like if we examine some iceberg that's far from civilization, you can see the measure to which its ice includes all the microbes and particles with the different metals and things like that. The same with us. It won't help me to run away to some place. I'll get poisoned there too, corporeal and spiritual. And therefore, that people run away and what they as if tell about it, it's not true. It isn't. Let's put the statistics aside and really see what's going on. So you're saying that if it will be researched in a few years, you'll see that even if a person went to the most remote place eating organic fruits and vegetables all day long, it won't make him healthier. Eventually, no. We have to understand that we're living in a round system, and that one way or another we're influencing each other, and someone gets more poison through the air, and someone else through food, and someone else through, I don't know, some magnetic field. But eventually, everyone will have the same outcome. So what solution are you offering? There is no solution. It seems that in every given moment, we're only absorbing more and more poison into ourselves, and we don't exactly know how to change things. We don't. It's only on condition that all of us will want to change, and to change the world, our planet, with its industry and with the absorption and emission of different substances and thoughts, and not to waste all of our natural resources in order to throw away into the ocean later on what we made, and with the oil. In short, we know what the problems are. But because we're egoists, we can't reach a connection between us in order to come to the correct summary of what do we have to do in order not to bring our planet to the verge of destruction. You said that only if all people together will reach the desire to change. And you also mentioned a change in the level of thinking. What kind of thoughts do we have to change in order to solve the problem at its root, the problem with the digestive system? Thoughts to the benefit of others. Between us, we have to create a system that will relate to each and every person in a good and nice way. And then it doesn't matter what we eat. Doesn't matter the kind of air that we'll breathe. Not important. The main thing is, if in our thoughts, because this is the highest level on which a person is connected with others, not on the level of exchanging chemical substances with each other, but above that, on the level of thought, in his calculations in relation to others, if there we will make the correct calculation between us, then truly everything will fall into place. Correct calculation meaning what? What changed happens? I don't want to think badly about anyone, but I want to think good things about everyone, positively about everyone. I want for everyone to be well off, equally, if possible. And that I won't have more than anyone else. I want to reach love another as yourself. And It doesn't matter what religion you belong to or nationality or anything else. Why this attitude that you've just described? Why is it the good and healthy food that our body needs, that our entire existence, human existence needs? The more we advance in scrutinizing what is this place that we're living in, what is this planet, this entire atmosphere, we see that the more we discover the forces of nature, the more sublime, exalted the forces of nature that we discover, we discover that the more exalted they are, the more hidden they are. Like radio waves, magnetic waves, different kinds of radiation and so on. The highest are human thoughts. They are the highest. They really encompass our planet from all sides. And if we allow our thoughts to be interconnected in a good and nice way with one another, by this we can save ourselves from all the troubles and problems. I don't care. I can drink acid and eat pieces of wood. Nothing will happen to me. The main thing is to be correctly connected on that level of connection between us. So, how would you define qualitative food? The food a person receives for his soul, that he's connected with everyone, and this is food, the best food for my soul. And then, nothing can harm me if I'm arranged that way. To summarize our talk, would it be true to say that maybe all of our problems today in the most basic system, the digestive system, maybe there's some kind of a higher reason to all of this that has to do with the spiritual food, as we said? There is a reason. Maybe it's a reason, but mainly it's the outcome. The reason for which the digestive system is so important to us is because it's an absorbing system. So it's very important for us, for this kind of system to function correctly, for us to think about the true and complete absorption, including man's desires and thoughts, and his intentions toward the environment, his environment, and for us to really prepare ourselves in a good, nice, big, integral way so that the world will be a good place for everyone. So we won't corrupt our hearts by our thoughts and, as a result, also our bodies. Suppose someone suffers from a certain digestive problem. He can go to the doctors, he can go on a certain diet, he can do this, he can do that. Everyone has an advice of their own. What advice can you give that person? I said, I believe just in one thing, for us to reach good thoughts toward each other. So what's the concrete advice for a person with digestive problems? Come to us and learn how to think good about yourself and others, about the entire world and the whole of reality. And by that, he promises himself a good, correct, and the safest existence. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
New Life 1245. The Connected Person.
Shalom lachem.
Hello to all of you. Thank you for joining us. This is our new live series of talks with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello. This is show number 1245, and we would like to talk to Dr. Leitman about all sorts of insights that we as people gain during the time of the corona pandemic, and mostly about how to carry them forward to our daily routines and lead our lives in a new direction. So, Leitman, if I look at this time of the corona pandemic, I think the main thing you taught us as people is that we need to pay attention to our behavior, because we influence each other. Very simply, we have to make sure not to infect each other. We have to make sure not to contract the disease. You have to be careful who you come close to, what you touch, and so on. Everything became much more complicated. And as a result, it seems that some sensitivity developed in a person, which he didn't have before, towards his interactions with everyone else, inside the home, outside the home, whether he knows them, whether they're strangers. The question is, how do we advance from here and begin to develop ourselves as creatures with social intelligence? So we were made used to wearing a mask in order to protect someone else in terms of health. So how to carry it forward? Dr. Leitman, also not in order to catch an illness ourselves. Oh, and yes, but studies show that it protects others more than it protects yourself when you wear a mask. So one thing we learned is that I can limit myself in a way, and by that I do good to others. The question is, if we continue to develop and continue to develop our social intelligence, not our individual IQs, not my own emotional intelligence, but rather our social intelligence, and how would we like to see ourselves? I'll give you an example. Let's say there's a person whose social intelligence developed to a higher level. How does he approach the society in which he lives, works, and so on? With what thoughts, with what attitude, with what intelligence? Look, it depends on the society he's in. If he is in our current society, what we see out in the street, well, that's an egoistic society. It's very harsh. Every individual cares only for himself in a very absolute and crude manner. And so, a person who understands that the society has to behave in a completely opposite way, it's difficult for him to get along in such a society. He somehow enters into, well, he becomes more restrained, closes himself off a bit. Oh, and okay, so let's be a little more positive and try to imagine human society advancing a step forward. Let's say that we learn something from the time of the corona pandemic, and our social intelligence for all of us as humanity develops. I want to go into that picture and to find some details in it and elements. Let's say we are all a little more socially intelligent, like Dr. Leitman, all of us. Oh, and yes, all of us. Let's start to define this creature. It's an upgraded creature, right? It has abilities which I today do not have. So how does a person with high social intelligence behave? How does he understand things? How does he relate to things? Dr. Leitman, he's in a state where everything he does is in the best interests of others. Oh, and what feeling does he give others around him? Dr. Leitman, that it's good to be around him, that he doesn't occupy space, right? He doesn't occupy the space. Around him, there is enough space for everyone also. Owen, so what does he do with his intelligence different to others? What does he do different to the way people behave today? Dr. Leitman, he doesn't attack others, he's humble, he's not crude in his spirit. He knows what's good for others and he tries to do good to them. He, of course, is never harmful to others. And he leaves everyone with the impression that it's good to be next to him. Owen, when he looks at other people and identifies their weaknesses or things people are strong at, what does he do when he identifies these data, the weaknesses and strengths of others? Dr. Leitman. It's simply good for him to be in a good relationship with everyone. Oh, and how does he use his own abilities? Dr. Leitman. He uses his abilities in order to make this impression, give others the impression that he's good for them. Owen, how does he respond when he finds himself in a conflict, in a state of conflict? Dr. Leitman, he immediately tries to calm things down, first of all. I don't think that he goes between the conflicting parties and starts making peace there. No, that's the problem which, well, it depends on his personal abilities, but in fact, all of his work in his life, in the world, of course, other than for maintaining his house, his home, his family, everything he does is to do good to others. Owen, okay, so let's take a person with high emotional intelligence. What is he? What does he have? Dr. Leitman, he has the ability to explain to others how they need to live their lives without pressure, without pressuring them, perhaps even through example, and to try to assist. Owen, and this new approach he developed to life, how does it assist him personally in his, well, for to succeed in life? Dr. Leitman, that's his definition of success in life. Owen, what exactly? Dr. Leitman, the fact that he can help others see life correctly. Owen, so his scale is not his own home court, right? It becomes much more expansive. What does this expansion allow him? Dr. Leitman, he understands that this is best for humanity, best for nature, best for everyone. He understands that you need nothing more but to complete the nature of the man so that, like the inanimate, vegetative, and animate degrees, the speaking degree will have good interactions, good connection, mutual connection. Owen, why? Dr. Leitman, because by that you achieve balance with nature as a whole. Owen, is this ecology, is that important? Dr. Leitman, it's not about the ecology. He understands that by this he is following the commandment of the upper force. Owen, please explain yourself. Dr. Leitman, by helping humanity become more rounded, more properly interconnected in a mutual, reciprocal way where people connect together, by that he promotes them towards the general nature where the inanimate, vegetative and animate degrees and now humans as well enter into a good, positive connection between them and feel that they are perfect and whole and eternal. They feel good. Owen, so a person with high social intelligence, will he have a better life than a person with lower social intelligence? Dr. Leitman, of course. Owen, why? Dr. Leitman, because it fulfills him. Owen, what fulfills him? Dr. Leitman, he's facilitating the correction of the world. Owen, and how does that fulfill him? Dr. Leitman, internally. Owen, what does he feel? Dr. Leitman, he feels that he completes nature. Owen, this is nice. So he feels that he's completing nature through his relationships with others. Dr. Leitman, yes, he causes others to connect and he causes others to connect and throughout all degrees in nature, inanimate, vegetative, animate and human, he causes all these degrees to connect as one. Owen, okay, so back to one's interactions with people around him. A person with high social intelligence, how does he manage his relationships with people around him? Dr. Leitman, well, it depends on the state he's in, on the society, on the times. It's not okay, but in any case, you could say he makes it so that they gain knowledge about the method of correction, the method of achieving balance, and get a positive impression from it, and also comport themselves accordingly and then arrange their environment accordingly. Oh, and so I want to suggest several social situations and try to use them to learn about social intelligence. Let's say that I'm a person with high social intelligence. In the morning, I come to my workplace. I have my colleagues around me, my managers, the people who I manage. And the fact that I have high social intelligence, how does it change my perspective on what's happening in my workplace? What do I see that a person with a lower degree of social intelligence does not see? Dr. Lightman, with your high social intelligence, you see how to organize the company, the society that you are entering now, such that they are better connected together and so succeed in their work and everything they do in that society or the company. Owen, when I speak with my kids about what happens with them at school, and I have a high degree of social intelligence, how can I help my children succeed on a level where a person with low social intelligence can't? What can I add to them? What kind of perspective or discernment? Dr. Lightman, how to behave correctly in the society, in the social situation at school, although it's very, very difficult. As we know, children are usually very cruel. But I help them, I teach them how to properly relate to others in such a way where they don't harm you and where they even want to be your friends. Owen, a person with high emotional, or rather social intelligence, how does he define success? Dr. Lightman, making peace between people. Owen, where he caused that peace? Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, so what does he do in order to generate peace to... Dr. Lightman, he gives an example. He explains in a way, in some way, that this is the general law of nature and we need to all be connected together with in good relationships, and this guarantees to us a good existence, a good life from nature and also from people. He explains the global integral system to everyone. Of course, not according to his own level, according to their level. And so he attracts people. He causes them to be connected to this system in an active way. Oh, and a person with such high social intelligence, does the way he speaks to others, do his interactions with others change? What exactly does he do different? Dr. Lightman, he gives these people an example of how to behave with each other. He is the example. And so it multiplies. Owen, what do you mean that he's the example? Dr. Lightman, the way he behaves with people, by that he wants to give them an example of how to behave. But I'm talking about the common man who is... Owen, of course. Let's say we succeed in giving our children a high degree of social intelligence. How does a child who has high social intelligence behave? How does he behave in comparison to a child with low social intelligence? What can he do that the other child cannot? Dr. Lightman, intelligence doesn't depend on the brain. It depends on inner development. The extent to which the child sees he can do good to others and by that do good to himself, and so it's worthwhile for him to behave that way. He has such examples. He has a certain case of examples of how to do these things, and then he acts them out. Because wherever he may be, in every place, he has some questions, some friction, all sorts of behaviors, and he knows how to...
תיק שלו, כל מיני כאלו יצאות לעשות כך או אחרת,
He knows how to pull all sorts of advice from his case and behave accordingly. Oh, and so he has this certain models of behavior for different cases, right? You said that it doesn't depend on his mental acuity. Dr. Lightman, no, it's not the brain. This is what he was taught, how to behave. Oh, and so social intelligence doesn't rely only on the intellect. So what else does it rely on? Dr. Lightman, on the law of behavior, the teachings of proper behavior, it can be a person who is not intelligent, a very regular child, but he simply knows that it's preferable to behave this way, it's advisable to behave that way. That's it. Social intelligence exists in animals instinctively. Oh, and what do you mean? Dr. Lightman, they know how to behave with each other instinctively in a way that's good for them, good for the environment, in order to be harmless, to succeed more and gain more. Oh, and we as people, Dr. Eichmann, we don't know. The animals do. Oh, and amazing. So you say that animals have built-in social intelligence. Dr. Lightman, you see, they even complement each other. Oh, and so in that respect, we are less socially intelligent than animals. Dr. Lightman, of course. Oh, and it's a bit insulting. Dr. Lightman, you are insulted by being told that you behave worse than animals? Oh, and the person, the human being with his IQ developed so much in the world. Okay, so certainly there are bad things, of course, but you say that we need to acquire social intelligence, which in animals it's instinctive and we need to develop it. So let's define it. What do we lack that every other animal has in our interactions, in our connections with others? Dr. Lightman, each animal has this inner knowledge of how to connect with the inanimate vegetative and animate degrees in the world. And the human being doesn't have that. Doesn't know how to connect properly with the inanimate vegetative and animate degrees in our world. He doesn't have that. For them, it's an instinct. And for us, we have no such instinct. Owen, so what should we do? Dr. Lightman, why don't we have such an instinct for us to complete ourselves by ourselves? Owen, what do we need to complete? Dr. Lightman, we need to complete ourselves with the proper behavior, proper communication. Owen, okay, what is proper communication, proper connection? Dr. Lightman, through to love, thy friend as thyself, but at least to do no harm to others, to the inanimate, vegetative, and animate degrees, and to people, and to try to create good mutual relationships with them. Owen, why did nature create us as beings where this law, this knowledge of connection, you define social intelligence as the knowledge of how to interact with other things, right? People and also the inanimate objects and vegetables and animals, right? Yes. So why did nature give every other entity the social intelligence and not to us? Dr. Lightman, so that we develop it ourselves, so that we become truly intelligent. Oh, and what do you mean truly intelligent? Dr. Lightman, if we connect correctly to the inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human degrees, we, through this interaction, which goes against our evil inclination, by that we will come to know the general force that's inherent in the whole of reality, the power of good, the power that connects all of humanity, and within it, the degree of the inanimate and the degrees of the inanimate, vegetative, and animate. Oh, and how does this relate to social intelligence? Dr. Lightman, as it is written, you shall be as God, knowing good and bad. Oh, and how will this affect our interactions? Dr. Lightman, we will interact only positively. Oh, and why? Dr. Lightman, because by that we connect to the whole of the integral global nature, and we feel ourselves as being in an eternal nature and whole. Dr. Lightman. And do animals feel all that? Dr. Lightman, no, they have an instinct that teaches them how to behave in every instance. Owen, so the fact that we don't have this instinct to know how to relate correctly to others, this gives us potential for development that other creatures don't have? Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, so let's say we take it a bit forward, a little bit, not much. How will a person function within human society? What kind of socially intelligent behaviors will we see that we do not see today? Dr. Lightman, we will begin to see how we're all connected to each other and to all the lesser degrees of nature, the inanimate, vegetative and animate degrees. We will see how we need to help each other. And together, all of us, all of nature, in this reciprocity where we connect all the parts together, through that we will discover the upper force, which cannot be revealed because it doesn't a place in which to be revealed. It's only when we make these connections, tie things together in nature, that system is the divine system of nature, and we will acquire it and live within it. Owen, that was a nice action there, sewing things together, tying them together. So that's a person with a high social intelligence. He knows how to sew things together, to weave. What does he weave, Dr. Lightman? Connections between people. Owen, and what does this have to do with this general force of the world? Dr. Lightman, those connections themselves are called the nature of God. It's advancement in wisdom, in connection, in receiving and giving. It's all in that system. Oh, and what's the connection between such intelligence and emotion, Dr. Lightman? Emotion complements knowledge or intellect, and intellect complements the emotion, the sentiment, and both are called, they're called mind and heart. And we build the system out of that, and then, as it is written, and you have made me. Oh, and I have a slightly unpleasant question. Let's see what you say. It is said that in order to be a good salesperson, you need to be, first of all, very sensitive and also very intelligent. And when you're taught the method for making a sale, there are four stages. And there is one stage called approaching, coming close. Because if you don't approach and feel the person in front of you, it won't help whatever you do if you try to push something on him. So why did I remember this concept of the salesperson now? Because you said that you need a combination of brain and heart. Good salesmen have that, but it still doesn't make them good people. Dr. Lightman, yes, because it's powered by the ego. They want to exploit others. They don't want to do good to others. That's the whole mistake there, where they fall. They fall into. Oh, and so as far as you're concerned, do they have high or low social intelligence? Dr. Lightman, I don't even know how to put it. As far as I'm concerned, it's very low, very inferior, primitive. He's entirely immersed in the stinking ego, and no, I can't relate to that. If a person approaches others just to sell him something, that's not good. Owen, so how is it good to relate to others? Or in what is the good way, Dr. Lightman, to see how I can help? Oh, and this is the way to relate to people through high social intelligence. When a person sees a person who is weaker than himself, how does he relate? Dr. Lightman, he wants to assist, to support. Oh, and when he sees a person who's stronger than himself, how does he relate? Dr. Lightman, he gives him advice in how to relate to others. Oh, and what does a person do with high social intelligence? What does he add to the society in which he lives? Dr. Lightman, he needs to help them develop. He needs to be supportive of the society and so to advance with them together, to constantly support them. Owen, and what is the essence of that support? Dr. Lightman, it's all through advice and example. Oh, and what, he becomes a kind of a psychologist to the people around him? Dr. Lightman, yes, I suppose like a psychologist, let's call it. And also he supports, he keeps supporting them through his actions. He is with them, he is even walking ahead of them like a guide, perhaps. It depends on the society. Oh, and so a person is born with a certain IQ. One is born a genius, one is born less of a genius. In order to develop social intelligence, does a person require a certain level of IQ, or is there a certain threshold, or can anyone develop social intelligence as he is? Dr. Lightman, anyone and everyone, because each one has his role to play, and each one must fulfill his role. There is no person without whom the society can be whole. Owen, well, that's beautiful. So really, even the Dr. Lightman, each and everyone, and in that, everyone are equals, because if it's a complete system, an ideal system, yes, then even if the least, the smallest screw is missing there, without that screw, the machine won't work. Oh, and so last question. You made that motion of sewing, the knowledge of connection, the knowledge of weaving ourselves together. Let's say we become more intelligent and know how to weave ourselves together. What will our society look like? Dr. Lightman, everyone knows who to turn to for help, who needs help. Everyone are interdependent, everyone are interconnected. It's so nice to live that way. It's nice, it's good to live that way. Owen, so it's good to live that way. So what is social intelligence? Dr. Lightman, social intelligence is to feel and to know in mind and heart how I can be the most useful to the society. Owen, thank you very much, Dr. Av Lightman. Thank you all for being with us. New Life, learning to live well. Goodbye.